genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning out of sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests will discuss a fascinating topic, no two of which are alike. My first guest is a senior advisor for the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues. We'll examine the battle over science in America from his latest book, The Body Politic. My second guest is the highest-scoring American gymnast in Olympic history. We'll discuss his ROV principles that he learned as an Olympic gymnast and apply them to our work and personal lives. My third guest helps corporate executives and small business owners make more profitable decisions by interpreting economic data. We'll examine whether the economy is recovering or headed for a double-dip recession and what we can do about it. And if you want to ask a question or join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Jonathan Moreno, is a philosopher and a historian who specializes in the intersection of bioethics, culture, science, and national security. And he's published seminal works on the history, sociology, and politics of biology and medicine. Jonathan is a professor of medical ethics and history and sociology of science at the University of Pennsylvania. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and has served on the Obama-Biden Transition Project in 2008 as the director of Department of Health and Human Services Agency's Review of Bioethics. Jonathan is a senior advisor for the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues, and he served as a senior staff of the Clinton administration's National Bioethics Advisory Commission and the Advisory Committee on Human Radiation Experiments. Joining us from Pennsylvania. Hi, Jonathan. How are you today?
Hi, Billy. Good. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being my guest. I'm truly honored to have such a thought leader as yourself on the show. And I find it interesting in the book you call the 21st century the biological century. Now, along with new advances in science and biology, we're really entering also into a new era of politics, something that you call biopolitics. What is biopolitics?
So biopolitics is the point at which ethical issues about science and medicine become political issues. And we've seen this, I think, in the last dozen years or so, especially around stem cells and cloning. Most recently, of course, the HPV vaccine discussion, criticisms from one politician to another that they're anti-science. This is really a new moment in American political history. You didn't have this before.
Well, no, you didn't. I mean, it's amazing because the United States has always sort of prided itself on being a nation of science believers, and many of our founding fathers were scientists.
Yeah, we had the most science-friendly group of founders of any country in history.
Without a doubt. And so we all believed in the age of reason back then. So science has been hijacked by politics, and you really enter in two new classifications in there, bioconservatives and bioprogressives. So let's go through that. What do you mean by a bioconservative, a bioprogressive, and how does that relate to today's discussion about such topical issues as abortion, genetically modified foods, et cetera?
Well, you've got the key questions. So what I think has changed is that we are now into the age of biology, and biology is threatening in ways that engineering and physics are not. Biology raises basic questions about the origins of life, the nature of life, and how we can manipulate life. And also who owns the information in our cells, in our chromosomes, in our bodies. So bioconservatives and bioprogressives actually cut across the usual liberal conservative spectrum. Bioconservatives are people who are very concerned about where science is taking us, who are afraid that biology, with all these new developments in genetics and stem cells and synthetic biology that we're hearing so much about, that all these things are undermining our dignity, or that they are threatening to create new inequalities among different groups of people. Bioprogressives, and I would guess, honestly, I'd put myself in this category, are people who think that in general science has been a good thing. It's very good for the country. In fact, we can't be a wealthy, prosperous, powerful country without being a leader in science. But also that we need to have some regulation, but it needs to be thoughtful. And you'll find people on the left and the right who have each of these views, bioprogressives, bioconservatives, cannot predict based on their other political views.
Without a doubt. My guest is Jonathan Moreno. Jonathan, I'm schizophrenic when it comes to this. I'm very much pro-business. I'm fiscally very conservative. Yeah. And yet when it comes to this issue, I am a bioprogressive, according to your definition. I mean, I think the government should stay out of most personal decisions, quality of life, and everything else. So what am I besides confused? I mean, help me to reconcile the schizophrenia that I'm feeling.
Well, I think you're a healthy schizophrenic, because this is a debate that we absolutely must have in this country, and we're going to have to figure out how to resolve it. I don't pretend to have all the answers. What I'm trying to do is develop the framework and point out, you know, what is going on here. I think ultimately we are going to have to default toward the ability for scientists, including biologists, to do their work. I think there's something to be learned on both sides. The scientists need to be a little more forthcoming, talk to the public a bit more, translate what their work is a little more clearly. But I think the public also needs not to have a knee-jerk skepticism about scientists and what they're doing in their labs. There's a certain anti-expertise quality. Now, that's a good thing in America, I would say. Often it is very good for us. We're skeptical of authority. We're skeptical of central government. And I think that is very often a healthy thing. But science has expertise, and you have to respect it.
Okay, and I do respect it. But let's take a look at some practical instances, if we can, Jonathan, because in the last dozen years, as you said, we've had a number of issues. I mentioned genetically modified foods. There was the whole Terry Schiavo case, abortion, Dolly the sheep, and the issue of cloning. Dr. Kevorkian, Dr. Death himself, and then, of course, stem cell research, which you brought up at the top of the show. I mean, these are huge issues to deal with, without a doubt. And then bioethicists such as yourself come in, and I can't help but notice or be struck by the feeling that I hear when somebody walks in and says, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. My big question is, Jonathan, who's in charge here? I mean, these are delicate personal decisions around science and biology in our lives. Who is in charge?
Well, I think we have to distinguish between the questions that come up in cases like Schiavo or end of life or even many beginning of life questions like restraints on abortion and the stuff that's going on in the science labs. I think those are kind of different because, after all, the abortion debate has been around for decades and shows no signs of going away.
Right.
These questions about how much you can control what kind of baby you have and how much we should be doing to extend our lives, these are little different questions from the traditional ethical questions about medicine. These go to, you know, how much work and what kind of work should scientists be doing in their laboratories, and should federal dollars support it? This is a little different. And I think it's important to make that distinction because we're always going to be having ethical debates about the beginning and end of life. But we also need biotechnology. We need to allow scientists to figure out new ways of creating wealth and jobs. And so that's a debate that we are going to have. It's a little different, I think, from the abortion debate and from the end-of-life debates.
All right, I see the difference there. We definitely need to have biology and biological progress. Let me ask you this, Jonathan. In the last 8 years, did we fall behind the rest of the world when it comes to stem cell research? And if we did, who's going to supplant the United States as the leader in that research?
I don't think we've fallen behind, but there are definitely places that are catching up. I've been in China 3 times for the Gates Foundation and the Stem Cell Biology Project, and it's very clear that they and people in Singapore, which, as you probably know, is building 3 huge biopolises, 3 science cities,
yes.
South Korea, I would say even Taiwan. These countries are really building their economies on the assumption that the 21st century is the century of biology. We are not, as yet, behind by any means. But there is going to be a leveling off in the next 20 or 30 years, and we have to decide that we're going to target certain problem areas that we're going to be the best in. It's not just a matter of competition. In modern science, it's also a matter of cooperation. You have to be a good collaborator. So America has to decide what it's going to bring to the table in order to collaborate with these other countries.
All right, I want to come back and I'll talk about collaboration in just a minute, but I just want to finish setting the stage for my listeners, if I can, Jonathan. What's at stake in this what you call the biological century? I mean, you mentioned, you know, talking about determining the gender, the eye color of our children and so on, maybe even to the point of influencing their intellect. I mean, aren't we flirting with the very building blocks of life? And how can we understand the far-reaching consequences of these actions? What's really at stake here, Jonathan?
Yeah, there's no question that we are. We are messing around with the building blocks of life. But, you know, in a way, human beings have been doing that since agriculture started 12,000 years ago.
Well, don't equate this to animal husbandry, are you? I mean, you know.
And what part of what's going on is, and I point this out in the book, and it's something we need to talk about, is we are beginning to blur the boundaries between species. And that's actually something that biologists have already been saying for quite a while, that those species boundaries really are not all that inviolable in nature, and that itself is threatening knowledge. That's very disconcerting to a lot of people.
Hmm.
So, look, we need biology as Americans for jobs and for national security. And just think about, you know, we've just gone through the 10th anniversary of the anthrax attacks.
Right.
We have not produced new vaccines as we should have. Our old antibiotic families of antibiotics we're basically stuck in a rut. We have to somehow balance these two problems. We need to advance in biotechnology at the same time. There are going to be some social decisions made about how far we go with it and how we use it.
Well, here's where my schizophrenia kicks in again, Jonathan, yeah. Because I am a free market capitalist. I do believe that free market capitalism will be the way for us as the United States. So what is wrong with a doctor who wants to step in and open up shop, hang a shingle, and says, hey, I will determine the eye color, the hair color, and even the intellect of your children and do that for profit? I see nothing wrong with that because there will be certain parents that want to have that done and certain parents that don't want to have that done. What are some of the far-reaching consequences of a business decision like that?
Well, even cultural conservatives, and I can name names if you like, believe that is a problem with capitalism. Irving Kristol, whose work I'm sure you know, died a couple of years ago, one of the founders of the New Right,
right,
wrote a piece called Two Cheers for Capitalism many years ago. He left out the third cheer because capitalism is not necessarily focused on values. And so even people who are social conservatives worry that if we let this go too far, that we're going to be undermining human dignity. Yes, we should have as much freedom of market choice as possible, these people would say. And yet, we'd also have to worry about the outcomes for the whole society.
All right. So let's talk about outcomes, and let's talk about a real day-to-day situation that we have today, and that is genetically modified foods. You've got Monsanto out there, who is, by the way, they are a huge employer here in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. They are out there genetically modifying crops. Now, on the surface, this is a good thing because now we can get a drought-resistant wheat, a corn that will grow in very low moisture areas, and we can plant these crops in areas of the world where food is not readily available, and we can feed some of the malnourished people of the world. And yet there are folks out there in Europe and even here in the United States who are picketing against Frankenfoods, as they are called, and saying that they're wrong for us. Now, who's to say who's wrong and who's right? I mean, is it better to solve world hunger through genetically modified crops or to be on politically correct with genetically modified foods?
Well, as you just correctly point out, there's more concern about GMO, genetically modified food and organisms in Europe than there is in the United States. And I find that also very interesting from a political point of view, because I think part of the European resistance to this is the worry that they are becoming Americanized. And that their local foods, their local pride in their cuisine, is and their local agriculture is going to be taken over by companies like Monsanto. And they also say that this is even a bigger problem in the developing world, where subsistence farmers and fishermen may not be able, and they would argue even now, don't have the same freedom that they used to have because of intellectual property considerations. So I think that it is a problem, and we're relating to Europe. and to the rest of the world. And I think that we probably are going to find ourselves in a decades-long World Trade Organization controversy about this. This is going to get bigger, and it could result in trade wars.
Without a doubt, and it comes back to my earlier question of who's in charge here. So we're going to let the World Trade Organization dictate how this is going to play out?
No,
or is this a U.S. Versus Europe type of governmental decision?
Well, I think the U.S. versus Europe stuff, and involving also Japan and the developing world, is going to play out within the framework of the WTO. And so far, the WTO has been a pretty friendly player as far as the United States is concerned.
Yes.
It's very hard to know. You know, I know you've talked about this a lot. We're living in a world in which the U.S. has less influence, and this could be a problem for us.
Very well could be. My guest is Jonathan Moreno, author of the book, The Body Politic, The Battle Over Science in America. And earlier, Jonathan, in an answer, you touched on this, but I want to uncover this for my listeners because it's so revolutionary. I mean, just like Charles Darwin back in when he came out with The Origins of the Species, we're entering into a new age of evolutionary ideas that would really, truly, I think, make Darwin's head spin, where we can merge together genes and cells from two distinct sources. Talk to me about how that might play itself out if it's allowed to go down the path that it's proceeding.
Well, we actually have a lot of these organisms, these animal models, mostly they're rodents, in laboratories around the country and the world. And they're very important for studying human diseases in animals. What makes people squeamish is the idea that, for example, you might be able to put a lot of human brain cells, in fact we do, in a mouse, in order to study degenerative diseases like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. And there is actually one state, namely Louisiana, that has a law that greatly restricts the kinds of organisms that can be made in this way. And we actually are a few other states that are also having these conversations. Now, you have to be very careful about how you write these laws because they can have unintended consequences for science and technology in your state.
Without a doubt. And they can have unintended consequences 10, 15, 20 years down the road. My guest is Jonathan Moreno. Jonathan, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Body Politic?
Well, the takeaway from the book, I think, is that we are, as you said at the top of the show, a nation of science. Biology is creating some controversies that we haven't seen before. This is going to be one of the narratives that we right for ourselves as we try to figure out who we are as a country in the 21st century. I think we are about to enter into a very momentous period on this question.
Without a doubt. Your book is a fascinating read. Jonathan, if people like what they hear and they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I have a website, a personal website called jonathandmoreno.com, and the book is on Amazon, with a bunch of nice reviews, I'm happy to say. And Bellevue Literary Press is the publisher.
All right, and you can buy it here in Ventura at Bank of Books, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Jonathan, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming.
Thank
we'll talk
so
to you
much.
Down the road.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.